Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southgate Holden Ranella. 49 Main South Road, Ranella. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, Roo, how are you on this Thursday morning?
Oh, revved up, ready to go.
Revved up, ready to go.
Adelaide 500 kicks off today. You've got to get into the spirit of it. Get your V8 shirt out and start getting stuck into it.
Ford or Holden?
Holden.
Yeah, or Nissan these days?
No. Holden. Holdens never die. They just keep getting faster.
Righto. Hey, it was interesting yesterday. I went to the Carbine Club lunch, Jamie Wincup. And Scott McLaughlin were the guests on stage.
How were they?
Very, very good. And Lawrence Mooney, by the way, absolutely floored him. He was brilliant. But Jamie Wincup admitted that the car he's driving, the ZB Commodore, made in Germany. Not made here.
Made in Germany.
Yeah, the whole crowd hushed.
Oh, that's a sign of the times. Oh. Well, what should we expect?
Yeah.
Car manufacturing in Australia no longer, really, for a lot of brands. So look forward to that getting underway. We've got Brad Ebert coming in today. We've got Limo going to join us.
Now, I'm going in hiding today. I do not need to be sidetracked by Mick Molloy and Jane Kennedy being in town at the Alma.
Yeah, well, they're here this afternoon.
My God.
They've got the big lunch on today.
It's like a whirlwind is about to hit Adelaide.
Yeah, good luck. We'll speak with them a little bit later on the show. We've got the Angels as well, so a massive show coming up.
All right, Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Ruined It's for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:11, Ruined It's here thanks to Southgate Holden down at Ranella, Main South Road at Ranella. Roo, what's making news?
We're going to talk about this just after 7 o'clock, Dits, but a kid in year 5 took a knife to a inner suburban primary school yesterday after having a bit of a confrontation with another lad.
Took a knife to
decided
school.
Decided to take a knife to school to, and ooh, I think he even threatened to slit the kid's throat or something like that, which this sort of stuff shouldn't be happening in good old little Adelaide.
No. Is there too much publicity about the American school situation? Now, I know. I say this with some trepidation. We know it was a very, very serious thing that happened in Florida just days ago. But there's now a school of thought out there that we give this too much publicity, therefore you get copycat situations.
We've covered it, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, and in depth. But mainly because of, look, in America we know it just happens far too often. But what they're actually, the psychologists are saying now is that these kids actually want the publicity. So the perpetrator, the shooter, wants to be glorified. So therefore, it's like in the media, we don't cover suicides. They believe that every time you talk about suicide, it actually promotes it. And it, you know, people out there, the publicity actually, encourages people to go down that path.
No, I can totally see where you're going, Dits, and I can agree. I probably agree with what they're saying and how that could happen. So not good, though. The kids have to resort to doing that. You know, we don't want guns, knives, things like that. We've already seen what happened up in the Riverland last year with ex-students looking at having bombs and all sorts. So having said all that, we're going to cover it at 7 o'clock.
Some kids do think, gee, I'll get on the front page of the paper worldwide. And, it's a wacky kind of mentality, isn't it?
It sure is. We spoke about airbags yesterday. Already 1.7 million cars have been fixed in Australia, which is a hell of a lot.
Gee, that is
a lot. But there's also, as we said yesterday, 2.3 million on the waiting list that need to be done. 250,000 of those are in South Australia.
How many?
250,000.
How? Gee, that's a lot.
But there's not enough airbags to get these done. So you can check in today's paper the list of cars if you want to double check. And there's a
shortage of airbags.
Absolutely there is, because, you know, beforehand they were just making the airbags to go in new cars. Now they've got to fix them for up to the last 18 years. So there's going to be people driving around that have faulty airbags in their car, and they're going to run the risk, a bit of Russian roulette, that if they happen to have an accident and they haven't had it fixed, that they might get one of these faulty ones go off in their face. Not a good thing to think about.
All right. Now, the biggest story making news this morning for me is, have you ever had cornflakes for breakfast?
Have I ever had cornflakes for breakfast?
You
come
have.
On.
So your mum
Who
and
hasn't?
Dad, your mum and dad got you cornflakes as a kid?
Yeah, I was in the cupboard.
I now know why your mum bought you cornflakes. All right. There was a hidden message here. This is unbelievable. This has just come to light. But Mr. Kellogg.
I used to have hot milk on it.
Yeah.
Beautiful in winter.
Yeah. And that's another reason why, as well, to calm you down. Do you know, you hear Kellogg's the name all the time. Well, it actually was a fella called John Kellogg. He was born in back in the 1850s. He actually invented cornflakes in 1878.
He was 26.
To stop kids masturbating. This is I'm reading this right now. This is true.
People are eating cornflakes.
So your
right
mum was
now,
on
you're
something
talking about masturbating.
She said, "Mark just can't keep his hands off it. I need to eat him cornflakes." Now he produced the cereal in the 19th century.
Stop masturbating. Have a bowl of cornflakes.
Correct. He marked, I suppose if you got one hand on a spoon and you, I guess you're holding sort of the bowl with the other hand, it keeps you occupied, doesn't it?
Jeez.
It says here.
Wasn't that tally at breakfast?
It says it was marketed as healthy, ready-to-eat, anti-masturbatory morning meal.
Oh, come
he was a Seventh-day Adventist, right? He was also a physician.
We need to
and he believed
day.
In celibacy, and he thought sex was unhealthy and immoral. So not only with another person.
No, I'm striking against Kellogg's
but
from
with
now
yourself.
On.
So, and if anyone out there is disputing this, please Google this. Mr. Kellogg, he was a firm believer that sex was damaging to the mind. And
what?
Body. Yep. He slept in a separate room from his wife and never actually consummated his own marriage, and he adopted all of his children so he didn't have to have sex.
Really?
There you go.
You've had a big day yesterday digging around for this.
Sort of research I do for this program.
Far out.
So if you're crunching on your cornflakes right now, we all know that you're a chronic masturbator, all right? Clearly, that's why you're having your cornflakes.
Oh, no.
All right?
Far
this is
out.
True.
I was going to have cornflakes for breakfast today.
Well, I think you should.
I might have two bowls, you freak.
Yeah. That's what's making news.
Far out.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6:43, all thanks to Southgate Holden at South Road, May South Road at Ranelle. Rory Sloane, this story will not go away,
it
unfortunately.
Won't go away until he signs.
He was on Triple M yesterday with Jars and Louie on the rush hour in the afternoon, and I don't think we're any the wiser. Let's have a listen to Rory.
I haven't made a decision yet, so there's nothing to report on at the moment. It's just me thinking about, as I just said before, everything that comes, with making a contractual decision, and this could very well be one of the last contracts I signed. So there is a bit to think about.
We hate contracts in footy, don't we? Like when people are out of contract,
Why do we
hate it?
Why do we get so uppity about this? And
well,
speculate? If I'm Rory Sloane, or if I'm any star footballer in this competition, and I know that other clubs are circling and wanting me, don't I hold out and hold out, or my manager does, and hold out because the bids keep going up, don't they? Wouldn't you do that? Why is everyone so surprised that Rory doesn't want to sign now?
They're not surprised about it. They're just nervous because they've lost players
before. But it's normal,
though,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's normal in some cases, yeah. But I guess in Adelaide's case, they've lost a couple of players, so they're a bit antsy that they're going to lose him as well.
Things always get said in the media, and you can't listen to everything that gets said. I promise you guys, and I promise the Adelaide fans, when there's something to report on, everyone will be first to know.
Well, there you go. What more do we need to be told?
And we'll find out on Triple M because he's contracted to Triple M. So,
and can I just assure everyone that Roo is on the, list management committee and you'll be the first to know here on Triple M.
I hope so. And we'll, if it's not from me, we'll get it from Tom Wren, who said it yesterday.
That's right. But Roo, surely, and you'd be the same, if you were still playing now, you hold out for the best deal.
Yeah,
of course you do.
Not necessarily.
Oh, come on.
No, you don't.
Not necessarily.
No, you don't.
Oh, bull dust. Absolute bull dust. You don't hold out for a better deal.
I swear on my kids' lives, you can't do that.
Why?
Because every player can leave for more money. Every player can leave, every half-decent player, all right, can leave for more money. And you can always get more money if you want to.
All right, so tell me right now, let's say hypothetically Rory and his manager are having breakfast this morning.
Yep.
His manager's saying to him, yeah, cool, okay, Rory, you do want to stay at Adelaide, I know that, but don't sign yet because we know that Melbourne, St Kilda and Collingwood are all circling. So let them all bid and bid and bid, and then in the end Adelaide are going to have to up their money and I'll get you a better deal.
Oh, you can get a better deal, but you won't get the best deal. You can always go for more money somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't know why the public and us in the media are so concerned about him not signing right now. Because to me,
well,
it makes sense.
Because until he's signed, he's not signed. There's a chance of him going.
Yeah, but we all know that. And look, do you know what? The leaks are with Jake Lever. That's one that springs to mind. Everyone knew 6 months before even Jake Lever knew. Because the leaks come out through their managers and whatever. So if Rory was going somewhere, I reckon it'd be reported right now.
Yeah, it could be. It absolutely could be.
That's my take on
it. Yeah, no, that's a fair take. That's an accurate assessment.
We read almost 12 months ago, Lever was going to the Melbourne Football Club, and what do you know? He went to the Melbourne Football Club.
He went to the Melbourne Footy Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully the rumours are right and he stays in Adelaide.
Mm. All right.
All right.
There you go.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Roo. This is the footy trip to end all footy trips. This is unbelievable.
I reckon.
Five long lunches in 5 days. Kennedy Malloy, Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy, welcome to Adelaide.
Thank you very much, guys. Sure. It's great to be here.
It's
good morning,
it's
everyone.
It's what we do every week. We just decided we'd turn, we get Triple M to pay for this one. So there it is.
You get that written into your contract every year, do you guys?
Don't talk to me about contracts and what Mick's got written into his contract.
Oh, is it one of those?
I've been stitched up.
I've got five RDOs that I can take.
I know how
time.
You feel, Jane. I work with Roo.
Yeah. Just go and see Eddie McGuire, Jane. He'll sort it out for you.
That's who you're learning
now,
from.
Now, listen, if you can't find the Alma, just look for the pub. It's got pictures of Roo everywhere. On all the walls.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that.
Oh, there's a big one out the front. He looks like Mousy Tung. So it's like about five stories high.
Don't worry,
Buddha out the front.
I've got two Comancheros waiting for you there.
All careful.
Listen, here's what I've decided. I'll come in. Let me just run up a tab. All you have to do is I'll just put it on and I'll pay at the end. Is that okay?
Jane, you'll be getting your shoes polished, your nails painted. Everyone will be looking after you. And
I know
Mick.
I will. But Mick owes you a lot of cash, doesn't he? Yeah, no, you've run up a real huge tab. That's, you know.
As long as I'm alive, I'll never pay that bill. As I am alive,
we'll see what Rocky and Crowbar say about that tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. Now, listen, Roo, I just wonder if Jane and Mick are familiar with words like rip-off and plagiarism.
You be careful here.
What are you insinuating?
I'll sue you too.
Unoriginal.
Well,
hang on.
I just want to take you back a week. Let's just have a listen to this.
Hey. I thought it might be time to launch a new segment. How about a bit of this?
It's one of the most commonly used insults in the Aussie vernacular.
It's un-Australian.
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 I should know. I've been Australian all my life.
They'll be telling us how many beers they had, Mick.
And another thing is, it's un-Australian.
Un-Australian.
Seems to be the end of the conversation to me.
Oh,
well,
new,
very good.
New segment.
That's
killing it.
New national segment. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone's getting great feedback. We're really wrapped with it.
How long have we been doing un-Australian, Roo?
How long have we been doing radio for?
Just a stab in the day.
3.5 years?
Probably.
What?
That doesn't sound very long.
What's your segment?
Un-Australian.
Un-Australian.
And what do you do?
And you know what un-Australian is, Mick?
What?
What?
Stealing your mate's segment.
That's right.
From another radio.
Doesn't get any more un-Australian than that.
What'd you tell Jane? You've just come up with a new brainwave overnight, did you? Oh, just come up with a new idea
actually.
For a segment?
Why did you hear my new segment, Dumb Comments? And I've got another one, Tight Ass Tuesdays, which I reckon could really...
Sounds good, Mick. Great.
Now
let's do
in
that.
The studio.
I will sue the both of you.
Listen, hide all your notes. They're looking at our rundown as we speak.
Anyway.
Hey, Jane, you changed my life, to be quite honest, because Roo and I are on
really
this.
Did.
Yeah, you
wow.
did. And you probably didn't even realise it. But, you know, years ago, you released, I know you've done several books, but the cookbook, remind me of the name, or something about Jane.
I thought it would have had to revolve around food.
Food without the Boomba.
Fabulous Food minus the Boomba.
Cooking for Fat Bastards.
That's it.
Cooking for Fat Bastards.
That's the translation. No, look, I had lots of babies really quick, and my stomach was like a piano accordion. It was going in and out and in and out.
How many did you punch out?
I punched out five.
Okay. She strafed the room.
You're not trying to
get out machine gun style.
I haven't punched out any, and I still look like this.
And I just thought, how can I make it taste nice without the Boomba?
Yeah.
That was the book. Right. So, and you got into it.
Chopped chicken.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Lots of
can
spices
I recommend
rubbed
to anyone,
in it.
Chop. If you like a roast chook, do this chop and put it in the Weber. Unbelievable,
this
Jane.
Is not the beer can up the bum chook.
No, that's
no,
my own recipe.
No. I don't insert anything up those bums.
Have you done that? So. Have you put a beer can up its clacker? That works really well
I've
also.
Given it a
Are
try.
Are we still talking cooking, or is this just got a bit of spare time on our hands?
So the hour. This
is what I'm around at home.
Someone suggested do that to Mick
Pay
at the
your
hour.
Bill, Mick.
Your can of VB right up your date today.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun idea.
I'll never pay that bill. In fact, what I'll do? I'll come in there, I'll swing by there, I'm going to get my protection money.
Mm. All right, well, you guys
you cough it up, mate.
Just be careful what you're saying.
Have a good day.
Have a great lunch today.
Are you coming to the lunch?
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we'll be there.
We'll be there.
The only thing you two haven't done is call your show Ruin Ditch. You've done everything else. You've knocked off everything
else. We might.
We'll
get some T-shirts made.
Yeah, good work. All right, guys, have a great day today with all the listeners down at the
Hour. Good on you, guys. Thanks for having us.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Triple M. Ruined Dits $1,000 pressure test.
Stay cool on the drive home. Get an Auto Masters air conditioning service. 20 branches. Call 1300 Auto Masters.
Haven't given away the cash this week, Dits. We've been a bit stingy. We are due. Dale from Myland, that's good news for you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, well, you got to do the hard work yet. You got to give 10 answers in 30 seconds. But before that, what are you up to today?
Today I'll be helping a few people retire.
Right. Expand on that.
Yeah. Well, financial planning. So.
Good on you.
Going to make sure they've got enough money.
Well done.
Tell us about what's happening in the world of financial advice and planning.
It's become very compliant, that's for sure.
Yes, I've heard that. But any sort of financial advice you're dishing out to people getting on in their years?
Oh, I'd have to give it to you off air, Roo. Happy to help you out.
I'm not talking. Very secret, very conservative style of financial advisor here. So I don't think he's tipping Bitcoin at the moment.
No, I wouldn't be on that track.
Yeah. Cash in the bank, 2.5%.
Yeah, no, you can do better than that.
Okay, good.
But you're not going to tell us how.
But what we'll give you some financial advice right now. If you can get 10 answers in 30 seconds, you're going to win $1,000 cash,
Is it a concern that a financial planner is ringing up trying to win $1,000?
Everyone's got a bit of an inner punt in them, haven't they?
I know. Yeah. Yep. I need every bit I can get. Yep.
All right, Dale, well, let's listen up, okay? The Adelaide 500 gets underway today and will be around all weekend. Give us 10 past and present V8 supercar drivers.
Craig Lowndes, Peter Brock, Mark Scaife, Mark Winterbottom, Jamie Wincup, Dumbrell.
Who?
Yeah, Dumbrell.
Yep, Dumbrell. Yep. What else we got? Yeah. Ambrose.
Yeah.
Come on.
Bad luck, Dale. Bad luck, Dale. Let's listen up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Correct.
7 correct. Hey, well done, Dale. You are off to Auto Masters when you need to. We've got a $100 voucher for you to get your car serviced at Auto Masters, mate. Well done.
Excellent. Appreciate it,
fellas. Good on you, mate.
Good on you, Dale.
Thanks, Dale. Dale from Myland.
Yeah, boys.
For all your financial advice. Hope he's a bit more forthcoming when you go and he turns the meter on. And
Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman.
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Bring him in with an organ, Dits. Anthony Lehman.
Big intro. How are you, Lemo?
I'm very well. Thanks, guys. And what people may not realise is that Dits plays the organ live every time my intro comes on.
Yeah, he does that just to keep himself awake about this time of the day.
It's the only tune I can play. Don't ask me to play anything else.
No, you do it. You're looking good today, too, Dits.
Thank you. Yeah, despite.
He's trained to the minute, Lemo. He is trained to the minute. Big weigh-in yesterday. Yeah. Midweek collapse.
I always find those weigh-ins are a thing to celebrate, that's all.
You've got to celebrate your successes, Dits. Why would you go through life not celebrating your wins? Yeah.
Mm. You're like a prize fighter, Dits.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of getting out on it, how's your social calendar looking?
You know what, Dits? I'm a little disappointed. There are actually 4 things I'm missing out on. Right. This week, and I'm devastated about every single one of them. Mm. Firstly, the Clipsal being on at the same time as the Adelaide Fringe. Isn't that just a glorious collection of people from different parts of the world?
Two worlds definitely collide there. By the way, you're not allowed to say the C word on this
What's
show.
What's that?
Clipsal.
Adelaide 500.
Adelaide
500.
Oh, Adelaide 500. Yes. Sorry.
Come on.
Adelaide 500. Yeah. I'm going old school. Yeah. Hey, it's 20 years old. I'm celebrating its history.
Yeah, exactly. Retro.
The Adelaide 500. They do the crowds, though. They come together like oil and water. Mm. I remember one year a fringe goer got lost and ended up in at the Clipsal 500. It reminded me of the scene from Borat where he was at the Rodeo and everyone was just staring at him, wondering what was going on.
It had to be the poor bloke doing a mime act in, one of the little tents and these cars go racing past. I want to kill the moment, wouldn't it?
Imagine a Mimac taking themselves inside the club store, sidling up next to a VB tent.
Cooper's tent.
I'm getting all my sponsors wrong today, aren't I?
Let's get it right here.
Come on, Lemo. No wonder you're not getting invited to things. Gee whiz. Keep putting your foot in it.
I don't even know what they're called. So that's one. I'm missing out on that.
Yeah.
Two, I'm devastated, guys. I don't know how you both went, but I believe I've missed out on an invite to the royal wedding.
Oh, come on.
Ditz will get an invite for that, but I probably won't either, Lemo.
I really thought I'd cop a bait there, Ditz. Has your invite arrived yet?
Well, look, there are some people suggest that he could be my son, but I'm not adding any fuel to this.
He did kiss Lady Di.
I'm not adding any fuel to this rumour.
He did kiss Lady Di.
I have heard that rumour, and Ditz has confirmed it as being 100% true.
But since she's passed, you know, the invitations have just dropped off a little bit now. So, you know, the 20th year anniversary last year was a tough year for him, Lena.
Don't make light of this, please.
I'm not making light of it.
You're laughing.
And Ditz, you said that a few people have suggested that he could be your son.
Yeah.
Can you run through a list of those people?
Diana. Charles.
Come on, she's no longer, she can't defend herself.
Harry.
Come on.
Camilla. So I'm missing out
His
on that.
His lawyer.
Here we go. The list goes on, Your Honour.
Yeah.
The Foo Fighters are playing at that wedding too, which isn't bad.
Really?
I thought the Spice Girls were playing.
Well, the Spice Girls are going to be there. Foo Fighters are playing.
Oh,
I had a DJ and some fire twirlers at my wedding, so not quite, not quite the same. Now, the third thing I'm missing out on today is the Kennedy Malloy long lunch at the Alma.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
Is Mickey finally going to pay his outstanding Bante?
I said to him yesterday, actually, we're speaking to him later on. I'm going to let him know I've got two Comancheros following him around, till he pays the bill. He's not getting out of town. He's made some big mistakes in Adelaide, but this is going to be his biggest, I tell you.
He's going to finish the night in the kitchen under supervision.
Yeah, very close watch.
Staunch-looking roosters, all right. And finally, the fourth thing I'm missing is the Port Lincoln races. So you guys are going to take care of yourselves today there, I imagine?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the races are on tomorrow, so we've got to do the show in the morning, Limo. So, we won't over-race or anything tonight.
No, you'd be very sensible.
Very sensible tonight, and we might take the handbrake off at lunchtime tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is that the plan, Ditz?
Good advice. Yep.
Good advice. Because he listens to advice, Ditz.
Ditz is having none of it.
Stubborn red-headed bugger.
A couple of dozen oysters tonight.
Just oysters.
Warmed up.
That'll be about it, Limo. So we'll take it easy. Hey, you got any advice in the world of politics as well?
Actually, I do. You know what? There's an election coming up later this year. Here's a tip for Xenophon, Weatherall, Marshall, whoever wants to listen to it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to make sense. I'll get there in a sec.
Okay.
Now, I know you guys spoke on the show about China cracking down on strippers at funerals.
Yes.
Right? Because strippers at funerals, it's a big thing over there.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with it personally. Surely it's what Grandpa would have wanted.
he wasn't allowed it when he was alive, so... Might as well go out with one last wish.
Normally at funerals, the only stiff's in the casket.
Oh, no.
And guys, there is an RIP in stripper too. So it all kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, there's a Taiwanese politician, this is the reason I bring it up, who had a funeral in January this year.
Mm.
He had 50 strippers at his funeral.
Oh, no.
50 on jeeps parading through the street as part of the funeral procession. Now, one of the locals there was heard to say, "This is what it means to be the people's politician."
Oh, right? come on.
And other city residents were heard to say, some city residents were asking for him to please die one more time.
See, can I just appeal to the Adelaide funeral directors out there? Get imaginative.
Come on. Exactly. Think outside the square.
Come on. Please.
I'm just saying.
50 strippers.
This is one of the most popular politicians in the history of Taiwan.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying to
popular
the
death. Keep digging him up. Keep digging him up and bury him again.
Politicians in South Australia, just a parade of strippers could be the way to go. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Pass it on to Stephen Marshall, Mr. X.
Mr. X could become Mr. Triple X.
Well, Jay's got a bus. He's got the Jay bus.
There we go. See, there you go. It's all coming together.
It is.
I like it.
We'll,
good on you, Limo.
We'll let him know, Limo.
We'll talk next week.
Cheers, guys.
See you next week, Limo.
Triple M.
Leave it. Leans back. Slots the goal.
On Bruins Hits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert. Ebert.
Ebert. Let your hand
down. For Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, Roo, you know I always get excited when there's an Ebert in the studio. When I was a kid, I wanted to. I'd ask my mum if I could change my name to Ebert, but she wouldn't let me.
You didn't have the talent.
Brad Ebert, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You could have been kicked out of the family if you were an Ebert.
Yeah, and the Eberts didn't want me either. I tried in the draft.
Did you tie up any of the Eberts' shoelaces or anything for them, or polish their boots or anything in the change rooms?
Oh, yeah. Russ, I used to be at training as a little kid, Brad, and just follow Russ around and do everything. Oh, yeah.
Nah, fair enough, fair enough.
Love it. I idolised him.
I think Russ would have been accepting of that.
He was pretty tolerant.
Of course.
Hey, Brad,
piss off with the red.
Let's start with Robbie Gray. Hard for you to comment on tribunal stuff, but gee, Charlie Dixon had a go here on Triple M on the Rush Hour. He said it's confusing for a player. Do you find it confusing to know what you can and can't do?
I guess there's a fine line, isn't there? That's, you know, I looked at it and I was disappointed that he got the week. I think that, you know, that a bump, you know, when you're hitting the shoulder and he doesn't go off the game, that's fine. Like, he obviously went off and didn't play again. So it's McGovern I'm talking about here. Yep. So it's always hard to then, you know, judge it. But I guess what the other option that he had was really just to pull out of a contest, which, you know, you never really taught that as a player.
You don't want
to
see that.
And Robbie's as fair a player as you see. So,
or bump him in the shoulder.
Well, yeah. And I guess it's hard when you the way that he was moving in, the speed he was going at to drop it at that sort of level. So I don't know, it's a hard one. And as a player, we're always going to defend our own teammate. And, you know, so I'm always going to be sitting on the side of, no, it shouldn't have been.
Are you reluctant to bump in this day and age?
No, I'm not reluctant to bump. No, no way. Well, it just depends on the situation, though. Like,
It's risky to bump.
Yeah, it's risky to bump. But at the same time, you know, if the play's there and you're going for it, then, you know, It's still a part of the game.
It's part of the game, but that's where bad luck comes into it. Because if you go to bump and you think you can bump, but you slightly get it wrong for whatever reason, accidentally, or you know the bloke's head falls quickly or whatever, you can go from getting just be a good clean bump to getting 3 weeks.
So it's interesting the language you're using. You've just said bad luck.
It is bad
accidental.
Luck.
All those words you're or using means a bloke shouldn't get rubbed out.
Well, it's just the rules, Dits, and they've got to change it. It's like tackling now. The tackling, they want to protect the head because the biggest risk in football at the moment is all the litigation around concussion that's been in American sport and it's coming here. And now we've got players, past players, saying they can't even remember their kids' birth dates and things like that.
Okay, and I know that's an issue. Is that talked about, Brett?
That's definitely, that's definitely the number one that they're looking at. They're trying to protect the players and that. But, yeah, I guess from a player's point of view, you're always sort of defending your own teammate. So you look at it from a biased eye, I guess. So, you know, when I look back, I go, oh, no, it shouldn't have been rubbed out. But then, there's other incidents where you're probably looking at it differently. So, it's always hard for us to judge because we're always going to be looking at it from that one side.
They're not changing those rules to make the game better. They're changing those rules to protect player welfare. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Other rules we could definitely get stuck in the AFL about, tweaking the game and all that, and they shouldn't need to do that. But that's all around player welfare. So, you know, even people like Malcolm Blight are saying they're going to wear helmets soon.
I doubt that
doesn't bloody happen.
Yeah, I doubt that. But because I guess like the American game, they wear a helmet because, you know, their game is so contact, whereas we've still got a bit more space and a bit more free-flowing game. So, you know, our tackles aren't designed to be charging in with the head, whereas
we do not want that.
It almost create that sort of game. So, all right, I don't know about the helmet.
In the news this morning, Brad, yesterday the Crows announced their leadership group. I want to ask you about leadership groups. A person like me that I do live in the dark ages, I grew up watching footy in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and I love the old-fashioned captain. And if he's out, the vice captain takes over. Mm. Tell me about leadership groups. Are they a necessity?
I believe so. I guess, you know, once again, I'm in Port Adelaide's one, so you're probably going to say that. But,
how many in your group?
So we've got seven now. And seven.
Different to last year?
Last year we had six. And then Jacko left and Charlie Dixon came up and
Rocky came in. So I think they're a big part of the club, and I think that they're something that helped build the culture, helped build.
Explain Ditz what you do. Like Ditz wants two people to look after the whole
the coach and
group.
The captain.
Yeah, and I guess like, sorry guys, I'm losing the microphone there, but. Yeah, I guess as a group, you sit down and you assess the game, and it gives you a different perspective on the game. So straight after a Monday after a game, we'd review how it all went, different lines. So we'll have a couple of players from each line in that leadership meeting, and it just gives you a bit better perspective on what happened on the game, yep. And then you're able to sort of implement that sort of stuff in training and going forward.
What other roles do you do?
It gives you the coach. It's sort of a bridge between the coaches and the playing group, I feel, and vice versa from players to coaches where. A young guy coming in probably doesn't feel as comfortable as, me going speaking to Kenny or whatever, it just gives you that gap. It gives you that bridge to close some yep. areas of concern down and gives the players a voice, gives the coaches a bit more of an understanding of what's going on. And across the board, it just keeps you going, working for that one direction, I guess.
Yep. Mm. Okay. Fair enough. All right. More with Brad Ebert in just a moment. Thanks to Comwire IT.
Ruined Ditz for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined it's here on Triple M. Brad Ebert is here thanks to Comwire IT.
Brad or Brad?
There is an identity crisis.
Don't get me started.
What's going on?
Well, I reckon three times in the last week I would have been called Brett.
No way.
Seriously, no way.
How do you cope with that?
Well, I just sort of brush it off a lot of the time, but deep down it's really hurting me, mate. It's really...
Well, because really he's a McGarry medalist.
I did it. I actually...
Yeah, well, that's it. He's had the longest career ever, I reckon.
He interviewed you last year after a game.
At the moment. He's almost tipping you, mate.
I called you Brett after a game last year. We were interviewing you.
Yeah, and once again, I brushed it off, mate. I brushed it off, but deep down it's still irking me. But anyway...
I can see. It's really actually twiggling on your seat. You're rolling around in your seat.
You haven't even got
as big a head as him or anything,
I know. There's no real similarity. Well, the name, I guess. Mum and Dad probably, they didn't expect
Brad.
That one. Yeah, it is very quick.
There might have been a bit of tension in the brothers there. Why did you call your son?
Mum keeps going Bradley.
Brett.
It was Bradley, and that's nothing like Brett.
Your mum always calls you Bradley, doesn't she?
And still. So I feel for her there.
She's like me. I can tell that's when you're in trouble. I was always Chris, but then when you're in trouble, Christopher.
Well, I get it all the time, so I don't know if I'm in trouble or I'm not. It's normally I'm in trouble, though.
From Mum.
Yeah, and from Dad, and from everyone.
Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley. Maybe I should go.
Hang on.
Like
Bradley Ebert
Cooper,
here. Bradley Ebert, thanks to Comwire IT.
Sounds a bit soft.
Hey, come
you
on,
wouldn't
mate.
Call Bradley at, you know,
no, it sounds
port.
Very formal.
Hey, I might try it.
What's your nickname in the club?
I'm going to start calling you Bradley.
What's your nickname?
Evo. Or
oh, it's not very imaginative. Come on.
Treats or tunnel.
Treats.
Or, because I don't mind a vanilla slice from time to time.
Right. Okay.
Come on.
Mate, I'm going around the state just slowly trying everyone. Yeah.
Vanilla slices.
Yeah, I think the one down in Aldinga might have it at the moment.
Actually, if you can give us an update.
Yeah, the homegrown bakery down in Aldinga do a fantastic vanilla slice.
All right, there you go. Mm. So they're ranked number one at the moment. Oh, I want an update each week. All right. If you find a better one.
I'll let you know.
Is the vanilla slice with, it's all the custard in the middle.
Middle, yeah,
and
a couple of layers of like almost like the
biscuity
the pastry,
thing.
And
yeah,
then, yeah. A little bit of coconut
and then
top
vanilla
on
icing.
The pastry, on the icing, yeah.
We used to roll the ones out with chocolate on top. What are they
Ooh.
Called?
I don't know.
They're beautiful. Get your lips around one of those.
Maybe.
Don't know.
Anyway. Yeah, should we talk a bit of footy or not?
Yeah, I want to ask about the weekend. Are we actually happy with the performance against West Coast?
Not particularly, no. I guess, there was promising signs. And that's, I think, out of JLT1, you're always sort of looking to see where you can improve and see what... see what guys did well, what areas we can still improve on. But yeah, as a group overall, I think that we've still got plenty to work on, and we're really trying to make sure that we improve on that.
Dom Barry was probably the highlight of all your off-season recruits.
Yeah, he was good.
Had 20 positions, kicked the goal.
Yeah, and I think a field like that probably suits him well. He runs and runs and runs, and he's an amazing athlete, and I think he's going to be a good fit for us as well. It gives you that outside shape and gives you plenty of speed.
Is he, like the small forward role? Is that the position he play, or can he run on the wing?
Yeah, he spends a bit of time on the wing, and I think like his running numbers show that he's probably one of the fittest in the club at the moment.
Really?
He's really moving well, and he's using the ball quite well as well, and hopefully he'll find a spot there somewhere.
Now, Bradley, I'm just Thank wondering. You, I'm just wondering where you fit all these players in. Watching on the weekend, there's so much depth all of a sudden.
Mm.
The recruiting's been talked about a lot. It's been superb. But I'm looking at the Power Pepper, Ollie Wines, Rockliffe didn't play on the weekend, but you've got players like that all through the midfield, as well as your running midfielders.
Mm.
There are so many to fit in. And I see young players like Attlee who then went in there. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and that's he's always given it a crack. And, and he works bloody hard at his game as well. You know, he's a real professional when it comes to the way that he prepares and stuff. And I think that you know, as the time goes, he's going to be a really good midfielder for us.
Sure. So you play the Crows Saturday week in the last JLT.
At Alberton?
At Alberton. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll be on the boundary line with my helmet on.
Perfect.
Making sure I don't get stuff thrown at me. What do you do this weekend? Do you have an internal trial or just a training session?
We're going to have a training session tomorrow. We've had a couple of days off actually over the last few days.
Oh,
so,
you're kidding, aren't you? You haven't even started the season yet.
Well, I know. The PA.
That's how easy we take the Crows. We're going to have a couple of days off.
Yeah. Now we're back into it though, Dits. You know, you've got to get back into it. So Friday, Saturday, we'll have a couple of big sessions and then we'll roll into the week as normal.
All right, Bradley. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, boys.
You have a good weekend and we'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, thank you. I'll see you then.
What's your middle name, Bradley?
Bradley Craig.
Bradley Craig Ebert joins us.
You can call me that if you
want. Righto. Bradley Craig Ebert joins us. Thanks, Craig. Comwire IT, Complete IT, support and cloud solutions business.
Time for Back in Black.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:13 Ruined Dits here on Triple M. All thanks to Southgate Holden. Check out their, in excess of 100 cars, new and used to choose from down there at Ranella.
Yeah, good people to deal with, Dits.
Yesterday, I can't believe this, but a boy at a primary school in Adelaide arrived at school with a knife, and what happened? Someone had upset him the day before, I think.
Oh, they've been having a few blues over the last couple of weeks, two groups of boys, and he'd threatened a fortnight ago to bring a knife to school, but yesterday he actually followed through with it after one of the lads had pushed over another lad's bike. So you can picture two groups of lads about 10 years of age, you know, pretty strong little lads starting to get a bit of strength about them and starting to get a bit competitive in the schoolyard, but that's going one step further, actually bring a knife to a schoolyard.
It's a bit serious. Well, it's not a bit serious.
Well,
he
threatened to slit the kid's throat.
Yeah, how serious is that? Sally Ann McCormack is a child psychologist, ex-primary school teacher, and we see her on Foxtel as well. She joins us now. Sally Ann, good morning. Thanks for talking to us.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Sally Ann, I'm just wondering if the situations we've seen in recent times, and in fact over the last few years out of the US, the publicity surrounding that, is that a bad thing? Is it time to stop publicising those sort of schoolyard shootings, or do we actually need to see them as a public?
I think we need a bit of a balance. What we know now with suicides, for example, we don't report most of the suicides that we know of, particularly with teens, unless there's some type of, you know, celebrity involved or something. And the reason for that is the copycat nature of it. It's almost contagious. When you hear about it, it makes it like more like a celebrity sort of thing, I guess. And so particularly when we give details and, you know, more information about what's going on prior to the incident and what actually goes on during the incident, how it kind of came about. So I think that, you know, I think if we haven't already, we need to come up with some guidelines on how to report it, what to report, how often to report, and, you know, really make sure that the way that we report it is not idealized and, you know, something that someone wants to do when they listen to it.
Is there any research on the fact that what I'm led to believe is some of these kids actually crave the infamy? They want to be on the, you know, front page of every paper around the world for having done something like this. It's almost like an achievement for them. I mean, the lad in Florida last week, we've seen him many, many times on TV screens. Are these people craving that sort of notoriety?
Well, certainly. In fact, if you think back to your average adolescent these days, because I see a lot of adolescents in my practice here in Melbourne, you find that a lot of them just want to be famous. When you ask them, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? They want to be YouTubers or, you know, someone who's famous, like, you know, many of the famous families that we know on television. Then if you add mental illness and, you know, circumstances, life situations to that, as you just said, the infamous part of that, they want to be known for something famous. And if that's the way to do it, you know, they watch these shows on, you know, these things on the news or, look, actually television shows. There was a thing about Batman a number of years ago when that came out. There were some copycat sort of things there. We need to make sure that if we hear someone talking about wanting to kill someone or, you know, threatening children in the playground, let's take that seriously. Let's get involved. And as I said, in terms of the media, let's make sure that we get a bit of balance there and only communicate what the public needs to know, no more, no less, and not sensationalising it at all.
I can certainly understand it happening at, you know, late teenage or adult stage, like up at the Riverland High School. They weren't happy at school. They were old school kids and wanted to go back and try and get retribution or whatever you want to call it in that situation. But in year five kids, I mean, surely they're not even... Surely they're not trolling the internet and having a look at things that are happening in America, are they, at that age?
But Sally, well, go on.
I was just going to say, well, you'd probably be surprised at what they see, to be honest,
Don't worry, I've got kids all around that age at the moment.
Yeah. But there's also that depersonalization. Like a young child, a 10-year-old, is unlikely to really understand the concept of death and killing and all that sort of thing. They have some understanding theoretically, but not a real concept of it. And, you know, they see this stuff on, you know, some games, actually, if they have access to violent games. And they also have the, you know, YouTube and all the things they would be seeing. Their parents might be watching things or, you know, there's just a lot of ways and means that children are being presented with this information that hasn't happened in history before. Hmm. They're seeing it, they're hearing it, and, you know, we need to be more responsible about it. We, the media, we, the parents, need to show more responsibility. And even in schools, obviously education, but, I mean, everyone knows, let's not kill someone today. Hmm. But nonetheless, you know, this depersonalization with all of the things that are presented, the, you know, lifelike movies and, you know, all those things that are just presented to all of us, you know, some people with mental illness in particular, you know, and add to that serious situations as they deem to be, you know, someone threatening you in the playground, that sort of starts becoming a little bit more of a picture and you just think, you know, we need to protect them and prevent them from seeing these things and prevent them from wanting to copycat.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Sally Ann McCormack. Now, she's written a very good book too, Ruth, Stomp Out the Amps. It's about negative thoughts with kids. Child psychologist, ex-primary school teacher, Sally Ann McCormack. Ruth, I'm just wondering, what do we think when we see those images of high school kids running and screaming and they're in terror? You know, you see these live pictures now. Do we really want to be seeing that on our TV screens? Is it important for us to see that, or should we stop reporting that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I don't know where it comes from. When I've got a lad who's in year four, and at the moment he sees me with knives and doing bits and pieces on weekends. Is it as simple as that? They just see what their dads are doing, or is it stuff that they do see on TV or see on the internet? Or is it computer games? Because I'll tell you right now, Dits, computer games are very different to what they were when we were playing.
Yeah.
We're playing Frogger and Pac-Man.
Yeah.
They're playing, you know, blowing up people and shooting people and all this sort of stuff. So
that's normal.
It is normal.
Yeah. I remember being in high school, or even primary school, and let's say you'd see some kid walking around the yard and he had some notoriety because you'd say, oh, that's that kid. He was in that big fight last week. Boy, he's tough. Don't go near him. My point being that he had notoriety because of that reason. I'm wondering if that kid that went to grade five yesterday, so then everyone's going to say, oh, that's that kid that brought the knife to school. Like, is he now gained some notoriety? Is that what it's about?
Well, I don't know. It depends if you think that's good to carry a knife. Mm. I think you're a goose too. Mm.
I'm really keen to know from people here. 133353. What's your reaction now when you see these US high school shootings?
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to wonder, do we stop reporting this sort of stuff?
Yep. Seriously. That's a good point. Yep.
Is it a positive for us? Do we need to see it? Is it important?
Give us a buzz right now.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Our schools and all of this stuff that's coming on our TV screens now out of the US about school shootings, do we really need to see all of that? Is it important that we see it, or is it leading to copycat situations?
Yep. Let's have a chat. We've got an anonymous caller here. Good morning.
Hello, how are you going?
Very well. Good, thanks. What's your thoughts on this situation?
Look, I work in schools and I deal with people every day in these situations of playground conflict and the results that come out after it. And I think we need to actually stop ducking the issue this opinion is not going to be very popular, but what we have is a situation where parents are ducking their responsibility for their children and they don't know how to parent properly.
Mm.
I mean, they need to actually stop giving their kids everything, stop being their friends and actually toughen up and parent properly.
But yeah. is this what's happened at school as well for quite a while? And I don't mean disrespect to teachers, but have we gone soft as a, you know, a generation or so about how we bring up our kids, full stop, parents, teachers, the whole community?
Well, teacher discipline in schools is driven by the communities in which they work in.
Yep.
They are only allowed to discipline to the extent that parents allow them to. So the moment they impose any consequences on a child, they're constantly having to justify to parent groups why they did what they did.
Mm.
And in the end, teachers just walk away from that process because they're not supported by their parent community.
This is really interesting.
Well, it is. Yeah. And you know what? I reckon there's so many people out there listening to what you're just saying right now and go, I knew this would happen. Yeah. We've been soft on our kids. And this is why they. This
can
is
I
what's
ask you?
Come back.
Can I ask you hypothetically, if this was your schoolyard yesterday? I'm asking you, our anonymous caller here. If that was your schoolyard yesterday, a boy arrives with a knife. What power have you got? What can you actually do to discipline that child?
Well, we would suspend for starters because it's an illegal act, and an illegal act comes under a criminal act. So therefore, this child would not be allowed at school.
And he right. has been suspended.
Inevitably, what we would do is we would reach out to the family and try and understand the circumstances in which they allowed their child to access a knife, bring it to school and do some behaviour education around why that was supposedly considered normal.
Right.
But I guarantee you that the situation in which this happened would not be an isolated one. The
okay.
child would have exhibited signs of leading towards this behaviour which have not been addressed. And they've not been addressed because the parents simply don't have the skills to do it.
Mm. Thanks so much for calling in. Very interesting take
look,
on this.
And we got no idea about this incident. Like, look, my kid could easily take a pocket knife to school today. Easily, my joint. And so I'm not saying the parents have done anything wrong with this kid, particular kid, because I wouldn't have a clue. We're not talking about that in general. We're being more general here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Let's go to Aberfoyle Park. G'day, Mel.
How you going?
Good.
I'm wondering whether we do need to see it. I sort of think back to the first time we heard stories like this and the shock and the horror of learning that this had happened. But sadly now I think we're desensitised to it because the shock goes but the horror is still there.
Mm.
It becomes, another one rather than, oh, my God, that happened.
Yeah, well, that was our reaction, aren't they? But Roo and I, the other day, in our, you know, pre-show meeting, we said, are we going to cover this, another school shooting? I mean, that's what people are saying now, Mel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they're not doing anything about it.
We're desensitised, then I guess the kids are too, because they get to see it.
Yep.
Thanks,
good on
Mel.
You, Mel. Thank you.
Let's go to Meadows. G'day, Nick.
G'day, Blake. How are you?
Good, thank you.
That's the way. Hey, I'll give you my opinion. What Mel said, you know, kids are desensitised, and you look at all the stuff on the TV, like 90% of it's all negative stuff.
Yeah.
And, I'm getting sick of it. It should be all sort of positive news stories and whatnot, so we can have a bit better, you know, look on the world.
Nick, I agree. You can't even watch the news, but, the media in general, I guess where you fall into that basket as well, either want something really good or really bad, like it sensationalises, doesn't it, Ditch? You don't often come with just a standard topic that's in between.
Home,
do you?
Yeah. No.
So you're
exactly right. I just wanted to say, you see all these stupid stories about someone getting stabbed in Elizabeth or someone, you know, doing this. Who cares, you know? Like, what about what someone did at a hospital, something good for some kids, you know, with a bad illness or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean, mate. We're reporting on things like that. We perhaps need to change our strategy. Right. Yep.
Exactly.
All right, Nick, thanks for your call.
The whole world, believe it or not, goes on the one goat theory, Roo, which I won't go into, but you know the one goat theory. And what I'm saying by that is, imagine, I'll give you a hypothetical. So working in this media industry, we go to the footy on the weekend and the Crows win by 15 goals, but Rory Sloane breaks his leg. So if I see you in the pub, how do you explain the game to me?
Well, the Crows played well, but Sloane broke
his
leg.
You won't believe it, Sloane broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how people react. That's what they say.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it's always like that. And a news editor sits in the newsroom and goes, yeah, okay, they won by 15 goals, but so what? What exciting happened? And you go, well, Roy Sloane Blake, he goes, right, that's your lead story.
That's how it works.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you've been there and done it, so you know how it works, and I guess we do that
a little
bit here.
That's how we're tuned, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, hey, some good calls there. Very good calls.
Ladies. Ruined dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruined dits, angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
We got Batesy, Amelia, and Alice the Wag. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. A high-rating show on TV.
It was.
John Edward, the psychic, was in the jungle last night. Let's have a listen to him.
So if I said to you, if I'm going to walk into a room, right, I walk into a room.
Yes.
Piano over to one side.
Yes.
Okay.
Which you couldn't possibly know. Go on.
If I go into that room,
mm-hmm.
Small glass bird.
Yes.
Okay.
He could not have known about a glass Lalique bird in the princess's room. Impossible.
Now, that's Lady Di's former butler.
Spooky. Yeah.
Right. Girls, are we into psychics, Batesy?
I love them.
Why?
I'm so into it. I've been to a few myself.
Why do girls do this?
I just think that it's just, I believe in like the spiritual stuff. So I do think that they're able to see the future.
But
I'm not
so what? Why do you
future,
need to know
like dead people and.
Why do you need to know that stuff?
I don't know if I need to know, but sometimes if you're at a crossroads and you just want to know which path you should take, maybe.
Oh my God.
This is what we marry in.
They must love it when you come walking and they go cha-ching, cha-ching. We got one here.
Here comes another wood duck.
You got one here.
Here comes a wood duck. Another 50.
Well, what's the best thing you've found out from a psychic?
So two things that were really good. One was that she said that I was wearing a piece of my grandmother and I was wearing my grandmother's ring and like, how on earth would you know that?
Oh, I bet that changed
your life. You feel better.
Yeah.
And then the other, thing is that she said that I had previously lived in a different country, and then she said that.
Oh,
no,
hang on, no, there's more. There's more. Hang on.
This is amazing.
She said that I had roots with Africa, and she said
that.
Specifically Mozambique.
We don't want to go down that path again.
That's getting a bit personal.
About big.
Roots was probably not the right word.
No, family content.
Family show.
But how would you know that? This was in Adelaide.
And that
you
changed your life a fair bit too.
Well, no, but you have to admit that's pretty spooky.
Terrific. Righto, Amelia.
I've never been to a
Thank
psychic.
You.
Good on you, Amelia.
But I reckon that a lot of people say that they have been to one. They have said things that have happened, but I'd be too. I don't want to know if I'm going to die tomorrow.
Right.
So,
okay.
No, I have not been to one,
good
and
stuff.
I wouldn't go.
All right.
You're a sensible
guy. Alice the Wag.
I think psychics are just really smart people that are really observant.
But how could you be observant of the glass bird in Prince Di's room?
Here you go. Is there any chance that this bloke was watching a doco one day of the royal family?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, hello, there's a piano and a little glass bird in the corner. I'll store that away for a rainy day. Any
well,
chance that might
That's pretty amazing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, if he has that in his mind.
Right.
I just want to believe, because I think it's so cool that you can talk to dead people and like have that connection with the other world.
Right.
That's why I believe, because I want to.
But do you believe in ghosts?
Don't start, please. Don't.
Rue does. He's got a ghost in his house.
Maybe.
Oh, come on, Rue.
I don't know if it's there or not.
Disappointed.
Come on.
Anyway, next one. We've got to do this quickly because we are way, way behind time. But I've had a letter. Melanie from Redwood Park has written to me. And she's concerned. It's the first love of her life. She's 19 years of age. First bloke she's met that have really, really clicked. They've been together 6 months.
How old
is he? 22, he is.
Ooh.
But they have absolutely zero in common. And she's saying that she's heard this saying all the time that opposites attract. And I actually agree with it. You know, I can speak for my own relationship, and Kate will vouch for this. We have nothing in common. We are so different. It's incredible. And yet we gel and we click. Tell us your man.
She's really smart, isn't she, Kate?
She's very, very smart. There you go. I mean, we don't need to say any more. Negative. We are so opposite. So do opposites attract, in your case, Batesy?
I do think opposites attract. Peter and I wouldn't say we have heaps in common, or our views or opinions on things are very different, but I think you need to have the same values.
Mm.
So, like, if you see long-term with someone, and they have to agree on the same things, like maybe marriage or children. Yep. I think the important fundamentals need to be.
Yeah, I agree.
Need to be on the same page.
You've summed that up beautifully.
Yeah. That really
and things I often observe in couples I know is that one can be really, really loud and outgoing. Now, if they're both loud and outgoing,
it's too much.
There's a clash, isn't
there? Yeah, you need
Amelia?
To have someone.
No, I agree. Pat and I don't have. When we first met, we didn't have a whole heap in common. Mm. But
you've changed him since.
Now he just likes everything I
He's
like.
Given there up. You go.
But it's kind of it's good when you have your own interests because we don't do everything together. We do our own things.
Yeah. All right. Alice the Wag, you and your bloke are so different.
So different. He's patient as quiet as a man. Nice, beautiful, and I'm just so loud and obnoxious.
He's got
and
discipline.
Yeah. He's just good.
Actually, we went to a wedding. And this is Joel and Alice's differences. So Alice was tanked and wearing the Airbnb after, and she's dancing and she's doing like a crab walk and stuff. And Joel is just sitting on the couch quietly having a beer, looking at him. He's like, "That's good, darling. That's really good."
<I'm>
And also at the wedding difference. On the deep one, my top fell down.
Oh,
And Joel was just sitting on the sidelines having a nice quiet beer, being a good
Peter. Oh, I've heard enough.
Get back to Melanie. It sounds like it's good.
Melanie, stick with it. It'll work. Yep. And Bates, you summed it up beautifully. As long as your principles are the same.
Mm.
Well done. Thanks, Angels.
Thanks.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
I see you got fat.
Get fit with Ruin Dits.
I'm not really as blubbery as I look, all right?
No.
I just want to point that out.
And I'm not either.
Head to triplem.com.au to get on board.
Ru, with our fitness campaign down at Next Gen, you know we've had over 600 people register.
Fantastic,
including
isn't it?
This bloke.
Iron Hayden joins us. Good morning, Haydo.
Good morning, gentlemen. Excuse the voice has been lost. I sound a little bit dodgy.
Sexy.
Well, I'll say that. 1-800, sexy,
bring
Hayden.
1-800 Hayden.
$5 a minute, Dits. So you just keep your hand on that wallet.
One way to lose a bit of weight, Hayden.
Times to get
you were a role model for people on Triple M. You gave up the darts how many days ago, roughly?
183.
Well done.
Shit, that's 6 months. Now you've come bustling into the door a few weeks ago and said, "Dits, Roo, I'm on board with this as well. Now I've got to lose some weight," because you've put on a few pounds when you gave up the darts. So we know you weighed at 154.9.
Yeah.
You said you should be around 110, 115. So we said to do a food diary. Tell us a couple of your standard days.
I'd wake up, got one of those coffee pod machines. So an espresso straight off the bat, one sugar.
How much sugar are you putting in there?
One cube. Mid-morning, smash through a bag of corn chips, a Mars, and probably a 600ml chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm. What's that? So you have breakfast or do you just skip breakfast?
Skip brekkie. That's what the coffee espresso is kind of wake up. Mm. Because I've had that around mid-morning, like the chips and the Mars, and that I usually skip.
Is Mars lunch. A Mars bar? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, full, sometimes a two-pack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, no.
And then in the afternoon, get a little bit tired, couple of Red Bulls for Arvo, maybe one or two around 3 o'clock. And then probably around 7:30, 8 o'clock is the next time I eat. And then I'm really hungry, so I'll smash down large pepperoni or, you know, fish and chips or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I reckon you said to us the other day, sometimes you go for a drive late at night to have a little feed before you go to bed. Talk about those little...
Do you know what? Contrary to popular belief, I've got a sweet tooth. You know, sometimes you'll be like, you know what? I wouldn't mind a Sunday.
What, so, even on a Wednesday or something?
That's how I put it. It's Sunday on a Wednesday, Sunday on a Thursday, Friday. So I'll go and get, you know, I'll drive through and I might get a, you know, one of those supersized
chocolate thick shake.
Not a thick shake, but, you know, whether it's, you know, one of those ice creamy ones with a chocolate bar in it or whatever, and happy days.
Okay. Don't know why you got up to 154.
I can't tell either.
Now,
those two of us.
Our man from Next Gen's here, our personal trainer, Daniel.
Wake him up.
He nearly fell off his
Daniel! Chair, Daniel.
What do you make of this, Daniel?
Well, that was interesting. That's I wouldn't say it's ideal.
No, it's not really.
But he's honest, and that's what you need to be when you put in your food diary, don't you?
Exactly right. And unfortunately, it's quite common. Some of the things that Haydo was talking about, in particular, coffee in the morning, appetite suppressant. If you want to lose weight, it's all about eating more regularly and eating smaller portions.
95% of people would have a coffee at the start of the day, but you're just saying make sure you have breakfast as well. Even if you're not hungry, you're better off having breakfast to get the metabolism going. And just go through some of the things that are acceptable for breakfast and some of the things that aren't.
You know, some of the things that you should be looking to have, or suppose not have, is that refined sugar. So you're looking at things like rice bubbles, Nutri-Grain, that sort of stuff. White bread on toast is not ideal. If you're going to have toast, things like rye bread or mixed seed grain bread is ideal. And it's all about moderation too. You're not going to sit down and have six slices. A couple of slices is fine. So, sorry, Hayden.
I have been known to smash down half a loaf.
Yeah, not anymore, Hayden.
Not anymore.
Poached eggs are all right.
Yeah, for poached eggs is perfect. If you can start to get some protein in the beginning of the day is ideal because that'll help with your cravings as well.
So low fat compared to high fat milk?
Milk in general, you want to be, you know, minimising. You don't want to have heaps of it, but low fat is ideal.
So when people are having coffees all during the day these days, it's a craze. Surely three cappuccinos or three flat whites is a no-no as well. You should be trying to have, long blacks with a bit of milk or something like that?
Yeah, ideally, and just minimise the amount. You know, if you have one in the morning, maybe to get you going again about one in the afternoon, then that's probably enough.
In general, though, what I've learned this morning with this food diary, it is good to write it down because when you look back over a week, you think, my God, I ate all that, or on that particular day, I had those things. Mm. It actually is quite confronting, isn't it?
Yeah, it puts it to your front of your mind. I think a lot of people, it's out of sight, out of mind. You see yourself maybe putting on weight because you see yourself every day in the mirror. You don't really take it on board as much. And by putting it down on paper, it really does stand out for you.
Tell us about lunches. What are the better versions? Obviously, you know, salad and things like that are going to make you lose weight, but what should you be trying to get rid of?
Everything's processed, so you want to minimise processed food. Things like salad and with your protein and that sort of stuff is ideal. You don't want to be going and buying your lunch too much. It's one, it's expensive, but two, it's there's a lot of extra stuff that's thrown in there that's no good.
Yep. Okay. And at the dinner table, and obviously we're trying to reduce the amount in between time, probably have fruit and in between if you want snacks, is that right?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of ways that you can go about it. You can either use things like nuts, you can use things like shakes, but you can also try and split meals. So instead of having all of your dinner at 6 o'clock, have some of it at 3 and the rest of it at 6. That way you're getting in two meals and you're splitting it up rather than having that big meal at the end of the day.
I'll just finish it. Like at 3 o'clock, I'd eat the whole thing. That's the problem.
Well, you're just got to put it in a container, which has only got a certain amount in it, and then you've only got that container.
It needs a time lock on it.
You need a food safe at your joint. You need a food safe.
Yeah. Hey, Daniel, thanks for coming in again, mate. You're doing a great job. We're really enjoying it. I say enjoying it. We're enjoying being healthy and trying to get fit. So thanks for your help, mate. And we'll see you down at Next Gen.
No worries. Thanks, boys. Thanks.
See you, Daniel.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southgate Holden Ranella. 49 Main South Road, Ranella, 104.7 Triple M.